Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line, back in the Washington, D.C. area, there, the very belly of the beast, Tom DeWeese, who's with the American Policy Center and one of the more astute observers of what's going on today. Tom, thank you so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us, and now we were going to talk about a couple of things that are going on that you're really interested in. So, and these are issues which really need to be addressed. So where do you want to get started?
Why don't we start with the issue of principle before party?
All right, fine. Well, that sounds pretty important. And, of course, most Christians are Republicans, not all, but most are. And, of course, they're going along blindly with our leadership because, after all, our president is a Christian. He's doing what we believe is best. But then, of course, we don't question why he's giving us the largest deficits that this nation has ever seen. I mean, Jimmy Carter increased the national debt $200 billion in 4 years in office, and he was criticized. He was pilloried by Ronald Reagan for that financial misconduct. And, of course, George W. Bush is going to increase the national deficit by almost $500 billion, in just 1 year. Should we continue supporting him?
It's been an amazing year. And, you know, when I do an analysis of what George Bush has done versus what a Democrat would do, it's hard to say. But the fact of the matter is, there's no difference. In fact, actually, there is a difference. George Bush gets away with things that the Democrats would never get away with. I don't think Bill Clinton ever dreamed of some of the things that George Bush has gotten away with. The Republicans would have stood up in major defense and tried to stop him. But when it's George Bush doing it, then they roll over and let it happen. It's been my observation over the years is whenever Republicans in office, we lose more of our liberties and government grows by Democrat because there's no one standing there to stop them. Democrats would have a Republican standing up to stop them. So that's the way it's gone and different.
And I think that the American people really need to know that we were told, oh, we can't have Al Gore in because we've got to get good people. After all, Al Gore will point, people who are pro-choice and anti-traditional family values. And yet seven of the Supreme Court justices in the Supreme Court today came from Republican presidents. And, you know, the average American has no idea what's going on because, of course, they read too much of the newspapers and Time and Newsweek and they listen to Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly.
Yep. And the Bush administration, what we're always hearing about, if we don't elect a Republican, the judgeships are the key. We'll get all these Democrats put on the judiciary. But you haven't seen Bush working to push through the logjam that the Democrats have created on the judgeships. And, in fact, one of the judgeships that the Bush administration is looking at is the prosecutor in Alabama who prosecuted Judge Moore.
In fact, a reward for a job well done of getting Judge Moore out of office. We'll be right back with Tom DeWeese. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, with us today is Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center back in Washington, D.C., and he's on the front lines of this battle for the survival of our society. And Tom has been talking about this idea that, well, we've got a two-party system, we've got to stand, well, if we're Republicans, we've got to stand behind our Republican president because he's a Christian president and he's doing what's best for our country. And yet, what are some of the biggest problems you see besides the fact that George Bush recently gave a recess appointment to William Pryor to be on the Fourth Circuit judge? Appointment, and yet this is the man who actually was responsible for the prosecution of Judge Roy Moore. It was almost as if George Bush was rewarding this corrupt politician for destroying or trying to destroy the career of a man I believe is one of the great heroes of modern times, Judge Roy Moore.
Yeah, and I think that really goes to the argument whenever we're talking about supporting a third-party candidate, conservatives talk about bolting. The Republicans kind of look at them and laugh and say, you have nowhere else to go, and a third party is just wasting your vote, and you need to vote for us because, you know, after all, you'll end up with the Democrats if we don't, if we're not elected. And then the judgeships is the thing that's always pointed out. But, more and more I'm seeing that there is absolutely no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Other than maybe the Democrats might move a little quicker, but actually George Bush has proven that's not true. He's moving much faster than the Democrats would move. And the judgeship is just not a viable argument. What you have now is Bush pushing through a $7 trillion Medicare program, which does absolutely nothing for the medical system in this country. It puts government in charge of medicine, which it shouldn't be.
But, of course, it's going to be great for the drug companies. In fact, it looks to me like a great subsidy for the drug companies that have been so generous in the contributions.
Yep, absolutely. On top of that, you have, Bush did absolutely nothing to start to stop the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform. He ducked it and let the Supreme Court decide. And they've now implemented this thing, which is really shutting off the ability of American people to have a say in learning the truth about candidates and so forth. It just gives a free ride to incumbents who don't get any criticism during the election time.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center, and he was just saying that the Bush administration went right along with the McCain-Feingold bill, which had nothing to do with stopping soft money going to the politicians. It had everything to do with the ability of organizations to let the electorate know how their local legislators had voted. And this is what it's really all about. What is it, 60 days or something like that? You can't publish anything or write anything or get anything out there, at least. How are these restrictions going to apply to an organization like yours?
Well, we don't get involved in elections ourselves, but what it does do is it empowers those non-government organizations like the Sierra Club and the Nature Conservancy, groups like that, that can spend some money, and what's interesting about that is that as we're moving more and more into the global governance and the United Nations having more and more power, sustainable development policies and so forth, empowering the NGOs over political organizations or elected in the election process just fits right in with that whole thing. And that's what the McCain-Feingold reform does, is it allows them to have more power over elected officials than the electorate.
But what it really does is prevents a certain organization like Gun Owners of America for paying for radio or television ads to let the electorate know how their legislators have voted. Isn't that really what it does?
Yes, it does. It cuts down on the power of the... The National Rifle Association, which is probably the biggest one from our side, it makes it so an incumbent has a free rein at election time. They've already got all the rules made for them anyway. To challenge an incumbent is near impossible. now you can't even come out and get help from your friends to tell, you know, from people who know, people who work on issues, to know what this guy's voting record is, and to get that word out. This is something that Bush capitulated on and allowed to happen, and that was purely a Democrat backed bill at the time. We've talked about what they're doing to, you know, Christianity in this country with the prosecution of Moore and Judge Moore, and the Bush administration sat by and did nothing about it.
No, except they rewarded the William Pryor, the prosecutor, now with a federal judgeship. In fact, it was almost like a political payoff for a job well done.
Yep.
Get Judge Roy Moore.
Yeah. Then you have, you know, remember when the Republicans took power in the Congress in 1994, that one of the major battle cries, we were going to get rid of the Department of Education? That's gone. Didn't happen.
Right.
No Child Left Behind. What it did was it just took all of the programs like School to Work and Goals 2000, workforce development, and solidified them forevermore. Took away the, you know, they sunsetted, but this just put them in concrete. So, you know, now we have more federal control over schools than we did before under Republicans.
And, of course, that was really Ted Kennedy's bill that the Republican president got through. Why would a Republican president put through legislation that had the complete and total backing of Ted Kennedy?
Yeah. And if the Democrat had been in the White House trying to do that, the Republicans in Congress would have risen up and said no. But instead, George Bush did it, so they rolled over and let it happen.
Sounds to me like we've got top-down government rather than representative government, and we've got government that represents the power elite rather than the people who elect the representatives. And that happens because the average individual doesn't have any idea what goes on in Washington, D.C., and even less idea how their legislators vote on specific issues. And now with the McCain-Feingold bill, they're never going to find out.
What you have now is what used to be considered conservative principles, the ideas that a lot of us joined the Republican Party for, limited government, individual freedom, private property rights, on and on and on, all of those things we consider conservative principles or constitutional principles have turned into, have been gotten watered down, and now they're called Republican policies. And that has no soul. There's no soul to Republican policies. That's just whatever the whim of the day is. And those of us who have been activists for years and years and years are now told to don't rock the boat, you might not get a Republican elected if you do, just sit there and we're taking you for granted, you're not going to have any say in what goes on, and if you do speak out, you're an extremist.
Well, I will tell you that I can remember about 4 years ago when James Dobson was talking about bolting the Republican Party and voting for the Constitution Party. They invited him back to Washington, D.C. They rolled out the red carpet. They told him to give him whatever he wanted to. Just stop talking like that. They were frightened to death. I think it's about time maybe they were frightened again, or maybe you just didn't make the threat. The good people of America say, we've had enough. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. In fact, the Republicans have become bigger spenders. They are certainly more dedicated to globalization and shipping our jobs and factories offshore. They're dedicated to the alien invasion, and the president is going to make between 8 and 14 million people who are here illegally, illegal aliens. He's going to make them all legal. Every one of them will be able to bring in three or four relatives. We'll have half of Mexico right here in the United States, and they don't want to be Americans. They just want, of course, to take our jobs, but their loyalty is not to this country and never will be.
Yeah, Stan, your example of Dr. Dobson is exactly the point that I want to make here. If we... who consider ourselves the potential supporters of the Republican Party, Republican president, and so forth, if we allow ourselves to be hogtied and silenced, we will get absolutely nothing. Because they believe we have nowhere else to go. There are other candidates out there. There are other parties. And if we would begin to move in that direction, you would see the Republican Party come towards us and at least make some noise in our direction. If we sit there as pawns on the back bench and say nothing, we will get nothing. And that's, I think, exactly what we need to do, is begin to look at these other parties and find some that one or two that we like what their platform is, and give them support. This will end this tyranny of what has become a one party system, just under two names. And you know, I think that's exactly what we need to do.
All right, fine. Well, do you have any suggestions?
I have two. I am blessed with the fact that two personal friends of mine are running for president. One is Gary Nolan, who's running for the nomination for the Libertarian Party, and I've known Gary for a number of years. He's had a radio show, and I've been on it many, many times. We've traveled together, made speeches together, and I know that he has very sound principles. The other one is Mike Peruca, is a personal friend of mine who's running for the Constitution Party nomination, and I can't speak highly enough about Mike. He knows what he's talking about, and he's dedicated, and he believes. And I understand you had him on your show recently, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we've had him on several times, and I'm very impressed, because I've given him some of the hardest questions I could think of. You know, I'm not going to throw him the softballs, and he's done great with them.
Yeah, I actually kicked around the idea of calling him and saying, "Hey, Mike, let me be your running mate." But I don't want to put the time in. But anyway, but no, these both of these parties have principles. Of limited government, and particularly Mike, in a very strong biblical foundation, and his efforts on the Constitution. He's set up classes in the state of Maryland to teach the Constitution to people, and that has had an incredible impact on that state. They actually, his group, succeeded in getting Judge Moore in to address the Maryland state legislature, which is an astounding feat, and that's just the kind of things he's been doing. These are the kind of people who need our support. They are speaking our language, speaking out for our issues, and why in the world would we spend our vote on a George Bush who's going to give us Bill Clinton's policies? I can't understand that.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you disagree or have a question or comment, of course, that's what talk radio is all about. Our number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Tom DeWeese. Tom, how can people get in touch with you and the American Policy Center?
Well, they can contact us a couple of ways. One is our website, which is www.americanpolicy.org, all one word, americanpolicy.org. And we've got a lot of our articles on there, ways to contact us, ways to sign petitions or get onto our action alert system, which is called Sledgehammer, which has become one of the most effective in the country in making Capitol Hill feel some heat. Or they can give us a call. We are in Warrenton, Virginia, and our phone number here is 540-341-8911. That's 540-341-8911. Give us a call. Send you a copy of our newsletter, the DeWeese Report, or information on any of the things that we talk about here.
Oh, we have Nathan on the line. Nathan, you have your question. We may not have a chance to answer it. You'll have to stay on until the break. But do you have a question?
Well, yes. The electronic voting, I wanted to ask your guest about that.
All right, fine. Anything else?
Well, shall I hold on to
that? No, you hang on. We'll get to that as soon as we get through the break. We'll be back in just a moment here with Tom DeWeese. And, of course, we'll welcome your thoughts, agree or disagree. Let us know. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the route that arm off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about a few of the items that we carry here at Radio Liberty, which we think are important. One of them, of course, is the Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a program. It's really a program designed to teach you and your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And of course, it's a board game played just like Monopoly, and in 16 hours your children can learn how to read and spell, and you can undo all the harm that has been done. Now, most of the programs designed to do this will cost you $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This one's $139.95, and we've had great results with it. It's called Phenopoly, and we not only, it's 5 board games, there are 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books going into the background of how they have deliberately dumbed down our children. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, ask for Phenopoly. And then, of course, we also carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any health claims for them. We can only tell you that a lot of the people who use these products love them, and they tell us that what a great job they do, and people use them in shops, and farmers use them, and housewives use them, and sometimes people tell us it's helped their rashes or acne, and others will tell us it helps their upper or lower gastrointestinal tract, and that's the neutralizer solution. All I can do is say you might want to just try them. I wouldn't be without them. I know that I've had some very good results with a rash I had using Miracle 2 soap products, and so you can learn more about them up on our website, or you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the special introductory offer, because it includes the soap, the moisturizing soap, the gel, the lotion, and there's a neutralizing, a very alkaline solution. Call now. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center, and Nathan had called, and he's asking about the electronic voting machines. Are you concerned that they might actually tamper with the voting process?
Yeah, I am. You know, just because we have the technology to do certain things doesn't mean that we have to use it or should use it. One of the biggest concerns I have about those electronic voting machines is that there is no ability to do a recount. Once the vote's in there and recorded, that's it. There's no paper to back it up and to know what the voter really meant. And, you know, there have been studies done, and anybody who works on computers know that there is a way to program, even in a stealth way, where certain votes can be changed. and you know, how it's tabulated as the vote goes on. And they have done studies, in fact, to show that that can be done on these voting machines without even when you check the voting machine, being able to detect it in the software. And though both of those things are a huge concern, and when it's something as important as an election and people having a chance to choose their leadership, these things should not be used. I'm very much opposed.
And I agree totally. We need to get back to the paper ballots and demand that in your area, or you might as well not bother voting. Anything else, Nathan?
No, just a general concern about the sanctity of the electoral process. I've heard that in 2007, the Voters' Rights Act is going to expire. But, you know, basically just, you know, if we go to an electronic system of voting, you can forget about third parties getting anywhere near the president.
Okay, thanks very much, Nathan.
Thank you, Ray.
Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, a question or comment?
Yes, I'm just wondering if my correlation is correct, but with Ralph Nader jumping in now, doesn't that seem similar when Ross Perot ran in? And, I mean, he had a good chance of winning there, and somebody got scared and pulled the plug on him, and now Ralph Nader's in there to pull votes. Is that a strange correlation or a true one, or what's going on?
Well, what are your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, he's going to... Obviously, the Democrats are concerned about him. He's going to pull away from them. That's good news for Bush. So, you know, there is a correlation because Perot took away from Bush the first. But you know what? So what? They're running. They're in there. If we could get third party candidates to get some kind of recognition and be able to gather, you may end up with you know, coalition governments or something, because you've got so many from this party and that party, and you know, that's what we end up doing. But it would break this logjam, and the Republicans couldn't take us for granted, and that's really the way it should be. We should have a chance to go somewhere else when these guys aren't doing what we want them to do.
But, Bill, we have to educate people about what's really going on. I think you're absolutely right. I think that there's a reason why Ralph Nader's coming in. And believe me, if they didn't want him in there, why they sent him on a trip to Dallas. Or you remember what happened to George Wallace back there? I think it was about 60.
Shot.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. But it's just at a point where you got two choices, which are no choices, and to try to get a third choice is totally irrelevant.
And then the laws have been made to protect the incumbents, and obviously by the Republicans and the Democrats, it is very difficult to run against incumbents. You saw what happened to Pat Buchanan when he actually won the New Hampshire primary, and you know, they just ate him alive very quickly. But instead of giving up on it, we need to strengthen that and protest it and go at it more and more and more.
And, yeah. Bill, what we need is, of course, to help those of us who are reaching the people with the truth, because you're sure not going to get it from your newspaper.
No, I've seen what they spend on reelection campaigns. I mean, $150, $200 million. The normal person cannot derive this amount of money.
Yeah, but we got more good people in this country than the majority of Americans love this country and they love God. It's about time we took America back.
Amen to that.
Anything else, Bill?
No, that's it. I was just wondering how a third party or anybody that would be any good would have a chance of getting in and running. I mean, you can't, a normal person cannot get this kind of money to campaign. It's impossible.
Well, I think, Bill, though, the first thing that we have to decide is that we don't just vote Republican because the other guys don't have a chance. That's absolutely true if we don't vote for them. If we start voting for them, they will. And those things will change.
And we saw that in California, where a majority of the people would have preferred Tom McClintock, but they listened to the media and they voted in Arnold Schwarzenegger. And we got rid of Governor Davis, who put in $100 billion budget. And we got an Arnold Schwarzenegger who put in a $99.1 billion budget. And he wants us to vote in $15 billion so we continue Gray Davis's program of big spending. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Tom DeWeese right here at Radio Liberty.
help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, A Road to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our good friend Gary Carr wrote three books. The first one was En Route to Global Occupation. The second was The Demonic Roots of Globalism. And the third was New World Religion, I think it's the New World Religion. Now, we have all of those books, and you really need to read all of them, because the first one Gary wrote when he really didn't understand completely what was going on, but he knew there was a move to create a one world government, because he was working for the government, state government of Indiana, and it was obvious that these people were traitors. They had no loyalty to America. They were there to betray us. And the second book, of course, he began to get into the spiritual aspect of it. The Demonic Roots of Globalism is must reading, because it'll take you into what was really going on behind the scenes. And then the third book, The New World Religion, is one of the finest books we carry. None of these books are terribly expensive. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the books by Gary Cobb. And then, of course, we also carry a four-tape set on the Skull and Bones Society. Do you know what Skull and Bones really is? Well, you need to, because, of course, both John Kerry and George Bush come from this organization that only takes in 15 people a year. How could it be that out of 280 million people, the only people we can find to run are people from Skull and Bones? And then, of course, we have the books on the American establishment. On The Secrets of the Tomb by Alexandra Robbins, who did an extensive work on this. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Fleshing Out of Skull and Bones. We have a four-tape set on The Bohemian Grove, a secret occult organization that meets up in Santa Rosa, and you'll find the leaders of this country, the presidents are there, the secretaries of state. Call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Skull and Bones. And, of course, The Secrets of the Bohemian Grove. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And right now, of course, we have Victor calling from Missouri. That's Lonedale, Missouri. Hi, Victor. How are you doing?
Hello, Doc.
Have a question or comment for Tom?
Yes. I wonder why it is that nobody, or at least to my knowledge, ever speaks of the fact that Congress made itself a corporation in February of 1871, and we're not supposed to vote for president. We're supposed to vote for electors from our states.
Well, I think that we have always voted for electors. That was not nothing right to do. Well, I'll get Tom's response to that, but that was part of our constitutional system. Exactly. We had an electoral college. We did not have the direct election of president, because we were never to be a democracy. We were to be a republic. Tom, would you like to comment on what Victor says?
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about the electoral college, but you have to realize that without it, small states would have no say in what goes on. Rural areas would have no say in this way that they do. And, we would have elected Al Gore with a popular vote last time. Bush was elected by the electoral vote. Of course, every president is, but, I mean, that's how Bush won it. And if you took away the Electoral College, then you would take away the voice of people who live in small states or rural America.
Victor, do you understand why? Victor, do you understand why the founding fathers created a republic rather than a democracy?
Absolutely, yes, I do.
That's why we have an electoral college.
Right. I'm not advocating doing away with electoral college. I'm telling that the people are not supposed to be popular vote for president. We're supposed to elect our electors in the state, and like you said, so that everybody will have a voice. But now this Mr. Bush and all the presidents that I've known up for the last 50, 60 years are president of the corporation, but I doubt seriously whether they're the president of this republic.
Well,
they have no concern for the Constitution or any law.
Tom, are you acquainted with this idea that they're president of a corporation? I'm not acquainted with that either.
No.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Victor.
Okay.
Bye-bye, and let's go to Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, comment and a question, please, gentlemen. The first comment is, we could have all the ostensible benefits of touchscreen voting with totally bulletproof as far as fraud, but they want none of the paper ballot generated at the source. They want none of the paper code number I could take home and compare with that microscopic type on one page of the newspaper. They want none of that because that will remove the potential for fraud, of course.
All right. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Question. Isn't it time we kind of stop being saps and clearly illustrate that, like with Bush's proposals, there are no political liabilities to the things he should be doing, say, against immigration, etc. It would make him hugely popular. The liberal losses he would suffer would more than be outweighed, of course, by the remnants of conservatism voting throughout the land. And so he doesn't compromise at all, as you pointed out earlier. The point isn't it we stop being saps and clearly show this for the charade it is.
Okay, well, I think
poorly expressed. But
all right, thanks very much, Roger. Would you want to comment on what Roger was saying?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly my point. We need to make him feel the pain for these policies. We don't agree with them. What is it, over 80% of the American people are against this immigration policy? He needs to feel that his base is slipping, that we aren't going to support him. And what the Republican Party fires up is this fear-mongering that you may not like what George is doing, but you've got nowhere else to go, and you aren't going to end up with John Kerry. You're going to end up with the Democrats and back in control. And, gee, we don't want that. What do we get if we get that? Golly, we'll get big government.
Well,
we need to make them feel the pain for that and say, yes, we do have somewhere else to go. And if we do support these third-party candidates, people who really speak for what you believe in, you're not wasting your vote. You are sending a major message, and, golly, you just might one day build up enough power to get one of them elected, and then that would change the whole bill.
The most important thing would be if we got John Kerry as a president, and I'm not going to vote for John Kerry. I could not bring myself to vote for John Kerry. But at least you would have a Republican opposition. That is the important thing. Right now, there is no opposition. You've got two parties going exactly the same direction because the Republicans have embraced big government and socialism, and the Democrats have always embraced big government and socialism. In fact, if you look and see what Bill Clinton did, as despicable as a human being as he was, his policies were far more conservative than that of George W. Bush.
The federal government grew by 2.5% under Bill Clinton. It has grown in 3 years, 7% under George Bush. So, you know, who's the conservative here?
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, of course, average Republican, Christian, is going to say, but, you know, George Bush is pro-life. And, you know, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'm not so sure he is. And of course he gives that kind of rhetoric because he knows where his base is. And the pro-life movement is very strong. And that's another, prove my point here, that if you're strong enough to make your voice heard, you'll get something from them. I'm not so sure he is pro-life, and if things would swing the other way, I could see him swinging with it. So I don't know how strong that belief of his is.
Well, I thought it was so interesting a point that Michael Perutka made the other day, and he said that Michael had attended a pro-life rally in Washington, D.C., and the president had sent a strongly pro-life message to the pro-life supporters there at the pro-life march. But 2 days previously at the State of the Union message, he didn't say one word about abortion or life or, come out against partial birth abortion. He said nothing at all about the pro-life movement, but he made a big issue out of we had to do something about the misuse of steroids by athletes. And that was a major problem that we had to address, but not one word on this other issue. So maybe he is not as concerned about it as we might think.
I'll tell you, most of the politicians in Washington want that issue to just go away. And, you know, they give it lip service wherever their base is that they need to give it lip service to. But if they have their druthers, and what you've just said absolutely proves my point, that this is not a big issue with George Bush.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Bart, who's calling us from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you very much. My question, sir, is this. In an economy that has been gutted and is becoming more so with each passing week, and a dollar that is dying is dropping in value with the euro each day, the spending by this administration is absolutely insane. And I personally believe that we don't have much more than maybe a year left before we're looking at a 29-style crash. What do you think about that?
All right. Thanks very much, Bart. The question is, what do you think?
I have heard those kinds of warnings, and certainly anybody who who's watching the economy and knows anything about economics knows you cannot have this kind of spending out of control and every aspect of our lives controlled by the federal government. Let me take. I'm saying I agree with you that is a great possibility. Let me also add to that. If you don't know what sustainable development is, you need to learn, because this is something that is grasping a hold of our entire economy. Every aspect of our lives is now moving toward top-down control from the federal government of everything from the economy to your property to what you eat. The new thing on obesity is now really being tied to sustainable development. Just to give you a quick example, Stan, what I mean by this, in Ireland recently, McDonald's applied to have a new shop built there, and the local government demanded an environmental impact statement, not about whether the building of that restaurant is going to affect the environment, but whether the food that is served in there will affect the health of the people in the community. That's the environmental impact statement they're demanding. This is a warning shot about where the obesity issue is going through the environmental issues, through sustainable development. And sustainable development is the official policy of the Bush administration. It was put into place under George Bush the First, carried on by Bill Clinton, continues under George Bush the Second, and this is literally the creation of an American Soviet with top-down control, and that has a major effect on your economy, because the businesses are no longer free to just operate as businesses do and build that economy. It's now bureaucrats at the top telling people what they can produce and how they can produce it and what kind of things they can produce. And that's a huge impact on the economy. And if you're watching the economy and you're not watching sustainable development, you don't have the whole picture.
And I think Tom is absolutely right. We have a syllabus on sustainable development that contains basically a review of the 1,142-page Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. And we've got it in 40 pages. And lay out the whole thing. People ask, why is the price of gasoline going up so high? Well, it's very simple. They're not going to tell you this. I mean, we've got all this oil that's over there in Iraq. We wanted to use that. We've got plenty of oil up in the Arctic. They want, of course, to run the price up so you won't be able to afford to run your car, because they believe that cars are not sustainable and the continued use of oil is not sustainable. I mean, we hear all this about mad cow disease. They believe, of course, eating meat is not sustainable. You can't understand so much of what's going on today unless you understand that there's almost nothing sustainable, including most of our population, if you read what these people are saying. Would you agree or disagree with that, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is, you can't have a strong economy if you've banned whole industries like the timber industry, the mining industry. You're attacking the ranching industry. You're blocking the drilling of American oil. You cannot have a strong economy banning all these industries and at the same time burdening the taxpayer with paying for health care he shouldn't have to pay for from a government boondoggle. Both of these things coming at you at the same time. You wonder why the economy is in trouble. There is no free enterprise left in this country, and that's why the economy is in trouble.
Well, let's go to Sonia, who's calling us on a cell phone from Texas. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick comment, actually. I was about 2 years ago, George Bush had a meeting of the minds, which was all the business leaders, and that was when he was president-elect. And back then, it was decided pretty much to offshore a lot of the jobs, and I proved that. If you type in George Bush, Jim Morgan, and Michael Dell on a Google web browser, there's a web page there from Forbes, and the chairman of Cisco had actually made a comment, and it was recorded there, that it was too much trouble to basically train the American workforce, and we should use immigrant workforces instead.
And I think that there's no question at all that that is the policy right now. In fact, one of the heads of the Council of Economic Advisors recently made the remark how wonderful it was that all of our jobs were going over to India, and when somebody called him on it, why he started to backpedal. But that's the official policy. They just don't let the American people know. Thank you so much, Sonia. How do you feel about that, Tom? Do you really think that they're intentionally sending our jobs overseas?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of these so-called free trade agreements, which is not free trade, you know, NAFTA, GATT, things like that. We're getting more and more of those agreements signed around the world. What that really is about is redistribution of American wealth, sending it to other nations, and that's the whole thing with this immigration policy. What Vicente Fox wants is a North American Union where there are no borders between the United States and Canada and Mexico, and you know, what that means then is that his socialist government gets to reap all the benefits of our government and our taxpayers to pay for the rot of his, and, you know, what you won't have a United States of America and the United States Constitution or United States judicial system. You will have one run by this union that is run by socialist bureaucrats just like the European Union, and that's what he wants, and that's what a lot of these trade agreements are about, is getting rid of sovereignty, getting rid of borders, and having a one-world economy. But you cannot have a successful one-world economy built on socialism. They completely leave out the plank for property rights. They completely ignore the individual making decisions for himself. And you've got some bureaucrat deciding what kind of products we'll produce, who will produce them, where they'll be produced. And economies cannot operate that way and be successful.
Yes, but the tragedy is that the leaders of both political parties, both the Republicans and the Democrats, are embracing doing away with the borders. They just can't tell the American people that's what they're up to, because we might begin to realize this whole thing is a scam. Let's go to Jeannie, who's calling from La Silva Beach. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. And it's good to hear Tom, because we just received one of his videos, Sustainable Development, and it's called The Wrenching Transformation of America. And there were two speeches on there, one by Tom and then the other by Michael Shaw. And it was excellently done.
Well, why don't we tell our listeners how to get that? Tom, do you want to put a plug in for your videos?
In fact, I'll put in two plugs if you'll let me. That is a videotape that of a speech I did there in Santa Cruz this time last year with Michael Shaw, Freedom 21, Santa Cruz. And you can get it from the American Policy Center. We're selling it for $14. If you will contact us, our phone number is 540-341-8911. Just tell us you want the Sustainable Development tape. But let me go further. Michael and I just joined up with Michael Kaufman in Maine, with Michael Chapman up in Minnesota, and Beverly Ekman, who lives out this way. The five of us went to Maine. We recorded what will be a DVD telling the entire story of what sustainable development is and how it's creating the what Michael Shaw calls the American Soviet. And we're editing it now. It'll be a DVD with about 3 discs, and it will be something that every activist can use across the country to tell what these policies are. It ties in the economy, smart growth, education, all of the pieces and parts of it to tell exactly how this horrible program that's taking over our country operates. So that'll be available in about a month.
All right, as soon as it is, you give us a call and we'll push it here. Michael's going to be working with us doing our Wednesday evening program very, very soon. So we need to get this information out. And if you're out there in the listening audience, help us get the information out. Go to Michael's, call him at 540-341-8911. Get the information. God bless you, Tom. And thank you for calling, Jeannie. Bye-bye.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the 4-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I want you to know we have a number of tape sets that will really help you understand what's really going on behind the scenes. There is an organized effort to bring about a one-world government, to destroy America, to impoverish the American people, but they don't want you to know about that. They want you to think that, oh, the pendulum's going to swing back and everything's going to be just fine, and it's not going to. Because these people have no loyalty to the United States. You need to get our 4-tape on the secret government. You need to get our 4-tape set on secret societies. You'll actually hear a talk I gave at Concerned Women for America when I go into the background of the secret society created by Cecil John Rhodes, who created the Rhodes Scholarships. And, of course, who created the secret society, which was known as the Round Table and the Royal Institute, and eventually came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. All of this information is available through Radio Liberty, and we can get books written by Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. The book, The Foundations, Their Power and Influence, one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, written by the Council for the Reese Committee that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations and found they were pushing socialism and communism, and they were responsible for bringing communism to power. Why would they do that? Why? Because they didn't want the competition from communist China at that time. America was to lead the world into the New World Order, and only when the world was ready to go into the world government would China be allowed, of course, to have even a semblance of less strict oppressive government. We brought this terrible government to China, but then we brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing full well he was a communist. If you don't believe that, you need to get the book, The Fourth Floor. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Jeannie just called in. She found another great website on the Echo Village, and it's all part of a plan to create a world government. It's www.ic.org. That, of course, is www.ic.org, and it'll take you into this move towards international communities, and with this will come the loss of all freedom. And people say it can't happen, and I would say, why can't it happen? This country's turned its back on God. Why shouldn't God allow his vengeance to come upon this country to punish the people as he did on the children of Israel who turned against him. And the people of America and the American church have allowed God to be taken out of our schools, and yet the Christians send their children to government schools where they're indoctrinated in atheism and internationalism and environmentalism, and the church is deafening in its silence. Well, we've got real problems in America today. We hope that many of you, of course, will want to consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because quite frankly, we need your help. We now are on shortwave 4 hours every day, and we want you to tell people to get a shortwave set so they can, on the West Coast, they can listen. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can go to our website and find out our shortwave sites. And, of course, the stations we're on, we're almost 60 stations or outlets across America every week. But quite frankly, we need your help to keep doing what we're doing. And we do hope many of you will have the courage, the dedication to freedom, to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. If you'd like to get, of course, a free copy of our latest newsletter, give us a call at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Do you know what happened in the presidential bunker under the White House on September 11th? Do you know who was there, what was said? You'll be surprised, and it's all in our February newsletter. Of course, we hope that you'll get our new video, the Diaprax in the church growth movement, and what's really behind this as we shift from didactic teaching to dialectic teaching, Hegelian dialectic teaching. The same thing that's been used in our schools and universities is now being used in our churches. But, of course, everybody's happy. Everybody, I mean, after all, what could possibly be wrong? We no longer have a God of judgment or justice. We just have a God who loves everybody, sort of a cosmic Santa Claus. Isn't it wonderful? Or maybe God hasn't really changed. Maybe just the teaching, the music, and the message of the church has changed. Well, remember the video, Diaprax in the Church, our 4-tape set on the church growth movement, our great video or DVD, and you can get both of the Diaprax and the Megiddo on DVD, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, my video, Brotherhood of Darkness, my video, 9-1-1, Contrived, tells you what really happened on that day, and of course, my video, Iraq, The Untold Story, of the video, or of course the syllabus, or you really should get the syllabus with the video, because all the documentation is there. Every one of the wars of the last century was contrived. We said fight and bleed and suffer and die, but it was always to pursue the New World Order, the New World Religion, having nothing, of course, to do with what the boys were sent overseas for. They think that they're overseas fighting for to free Iraq. I mean, we're going to end up simply with a majority government, going to be Shiite, another dictatorship, or we'll put in our own dictator as we have in Iraq, in Iran. We're going to be back here in just a moment here. Right now, we just ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Remember our telephone number, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, until tomorrow, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.